Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, March 30, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, I know you're out there with bated breath, wanting to know who is going to win all the loot in the Upland Bible Church March Madness 2025. Well, we had some changes. Sherry Bingham, who's last year's winner and has been leading through the first two rounds, round three is over. We're halfway through round four. After today, we'll have the final four. Now, Clay Vertrees has moved into first place at 158 points. My brother, Don, is second. He's coming on. He's always been interested in horses and horse racing. He's coming on like Silky Sullivan. Now, most of you don't even know what Silky Sullivan is. You're not that old. I do. No. Brother Don's at 157, 1 point behind in second place. Sherry is still in the hunt. She's third at 152 points. And then Sherry's husband, Al, 142. Fourth place. My son Derek's at 141. Come on in. Usually I have you do 100 push-ups, but I think we'll pass that. And Tex is up here, 137. You're in the running for the loot. And then Gary Brown, the crooner, 135. Tim and Dar, 134. Gresha, 132. Derek's wife, Courtney, 129. And Charlie, 129. You might even get up and get your $50 interest fee back, you know. So there's these guys are all, and gals are all still in the hunt. Now there's also, who is going to get the loser hat? Dave back here and his son Hunter, it looks like they got the loser hat nailed down. And they live in the same place, so they can just take turns wearing it. One day and one the next day, and there you go. Well, now that we got that out of the way, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in Romans chapter 8 is absolutely amazing in all of the doctrines there. And we are in a very wonderful paragraph right now, Romans 8, 8 through 10. And in this section, we have two unique doctrines that apply only to the time we are living, only to the church age. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is totally unique to the church age, which began at Pentecost, will conclude with the rapture. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, we have that in verse 9, and then in verse 10, the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Now we are indwelt in the church age, the royal family of God, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit makes our body a temple so that the Shekinah glory Jesus Christ can indwell inside of us and God the Father. This is totally unique to the church age. Never occurred in Old Testament times. Totally unique. We are royal family of God. Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The angelic conflict has shifted gears. The attack is no longer on Jesus Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now Satan's attack is on the body of Christ. And that is every single member of the royal family of God. His attack now is on you, every one of you. And therefore, God has given us the most amazing blessings. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. We are living in the baptism of the Spirit. We're entered into union with Christ. We're royal family of God. We share all that Christ is. We share His eternal life. We share His righteousness. That means we have a double portion of eternal life, a double portion of God's righteousness given to us. To whom much is given, much is expected. We have a unique spiritual life that was never given in any other period of human history. The first person who ever lived this unique spiritual life was Jesus Christ Himself. And then He passed it on to us. He demonstrated, He is our role model of this spiritual life. And He given it to us so that we have the power, the divine power, to be winners in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Now, sad to say, in America, most Christians are not living the spiritual life God's given to us. Most Christians, by their own bad decisions, are living out of fellowship with God. They're living by the power of their sin nature rather than by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in their heart. And the result of that, well, it just makes me sick to see the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA. I love America. I love our nation. But we are in apostasy and degeneracy, and we are getting very close to maximum divine discipline, the fifth cycle of discipline from God. Now there's hope for America because we're still here. There's hope for America. It will require a spiritual revival. And that means the grace gospel given all over America. Many people coming to know Christ as their Savior. And it requires that the Christians who are living out of fellowship with God, that God will work in their hearts so they come to their senses, and realize that they are wrong that they are out of fellowship with God. Rebound. Acknowledge their sins to God. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into the spiritual life. And then seek out a sound Bible teaching church so they can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So the pivot of mature believers will increase. Then God will deliver us from the fifth cycle of discipline. This is the time in which we're living right now. And that's why what we do here, not just on Sunday, but five times a week, is the most important thing that you can ever do. The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And this is an opportunity for you to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And so you made that free will to be here this morning to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we have this fantastic passage, Romans 8, 8 through 10. Romans 8, 8 and 9. Sounds like this. We've exegeted that. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh is the word for the sin nature, they're under the authority and control of the sin nature, they absolutely are not able to please God. Now, you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. God has a plan for your life. And that plan for you is to please Him, please God. And we studied the Word of God has a, we studied the doctrine of pleasing the Lord. And I've even gotten phone calls from people asking, could you put that available for specials so we could order that? They said, we really enjoyed it. Could we get that? So I think we're going to, If I can get my deacons, we have a deacons meeting here next week. Why, that will probably be made available as a special. We have the heaven special. We have the angel special. We have several special. We'll have the pleasing the Lord special. But when you as a believer in Jesus Christ are living your life under the authority and control of the sin nature, you are absolutely, you're not able to please God. That's why we're here. In the short time while we're here to please God. We're here to glorify God. And then verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature. He's now addressing the believers who are living the spiritual life. However, you are not under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit. This is believers who are living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you, and He does, first class condition, but if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. And then we noted that the unbeliever has no personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. He has no personal relationship with Christ because he has never placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The unbeliever has no personal relationship with God because he has not placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore he has no fellowship with God. And if anyone then does not have the Spirit from Christ, God the Holy Spirit, he does. Our verse says he does not belong to Christ. A person cannot be related to Jesus Christ apart from the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And in the church age, to have a personal relationship with the living and true God, One must be indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. And the only way this can happen is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The indwelling of the Spirit occurs at the moment of eternal salvation, the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Faith in Jesus Christ. Like the baptism of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit is a salvation blessing for the church age believer. And our verse also implies that it is impossible for the unbeliever to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by his energy of the flesh, the sin nature. The spiritual life that God has given to the church age believer is a supernatural way of life. And it demands supernatural power for its execution. And therefore, anything that the unbeliever can do or accomplish by his energy of the flesh, the sin nature, is not the spiritual life. The fact that the believer is indwelt by the Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, emphasizes the grace and the power of God. The grace and the power of God to attain spiritual maturity, the grace and power of God to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, the grace and the power of God to please God to the maximum. And when you please God to the maximum, you glorify God to the maximum. We are living in a unique dispensation, the church age. To whom much is given, much is expected. God the Holy Spirit is given to the royal family of God in the church age with great expectation. And so verse 9 brought us to the doctrine of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 10 is going to bring us to the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. But in verse 9, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, we are partway through point 1. Point 1. In fact, we have studied the first 5 subpoints of point 1. Point 1 is definition and description of the doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we've studied the first 5 subpoints. Subpoint number 1, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. We noted that in 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Subpoint 2, the purpose of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. There are 2 purposes. Purpose number 1, to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The grace and the power of God to live this unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit. The mandate, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the agency of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit that enables us to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this enables you to fulfill God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life, and therefore it demands a supernatural power for its execution. God the Holy Spirit. And the second purpose, to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God the Father. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. The only sacred building was the temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel. But that was destroyed in 70 AD. God the Holy Spirit, however, makes a sacred building out of your body. At the moment of salvation, He indwells your body and makes it a temple for the indwelling of God the Son and God the Father. Subpoint 3, the indwelling of the Spirit is also a sign that we are royal family of God. Royal family of God. Believers in past dispensations were family of God as a result of regeneration. But now in the church age, we are royal family of God. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit takes us and enters us into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And in the church age, we are the royal family of God because of the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a sign of our royal family status, which is superior to being in the family of God as believers in past dispensations were. And then subpoint 4, while no believers were indwelt by the Spirit in other dispensations, all church age believers are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in other dispensations was theologically, it's called the endowment of the Spirit, because God the Holy Spirit was beside the person, helping them carry out a specific task, but not indwelling the person. Today, we have the universal indwelling of the Spirit in the church age. And then subpoint 5, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church age believer, but only controls the soul of the believer under the title, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and walking or living your life by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Now that brings us to subpoint 6. See, I just let you sit there and rest for a second before you get your fingers all going here. Point 6. It is very important to distinguish between the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary. They're not synonymous terms. Very important to distinguish between the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary. You can never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. You can lose the filling of the Spirit as soon as you sin. When we sin, we lose the filling of the Spirit. But we never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Subpoint 7. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because that's where the sin nature lives, is in the body of the believer. So God has given us God the Holy Spirit to counteract the sin nature that is also dwelling in the body. So the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because that's where the sin nature is. In the life of every church age believer, human power, human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, must be superseded by divine power, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit are very, very important. Subpoint 8. So, the actual use of divine power from the indwelling of the Spirit depends on the filling of the Spirit. And that's why the filling of the Spirit is put as a command. Now, the indwelling of the Spirit is the I'm going to give you a little Greek. I know you just feel like you haven't really gotten it unless you got some Greek here. Okay. You hear me say this many times. This is in the indicative mood. The indicative mood is certainty. Certainty. It's fact. It's reality. And the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, every passage where we have the indwelling of the Spirit, it's always in the indicative mood. It's never in the imperative mood. It's always in the indicative mood, because the indwelling of the Spirit, which occurs at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, is certainty, it's fact, it's reality. You can never lose it. You have it forever and ever and ever. That's indicative mood with the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, there is the imperative mood. And the imperative mood is a command. Now, let me put, I'll even put you in Greek class, Dallas Theological Seminary. Here's indicative, reality. And then subjunctive mood. You hear me say that? Well, that's potential. And then there is optative mood. That's a wish. And then there's the imperative mood. Now look, imperative is the farthest away from reality. That's why God put the filling of the Spirit in the imperative mood, because you would never do it unless He says, this is an order. This is an order. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. This is an order. This is a command. Keep on living your life by the Spirit. It's the farthest removed from reality. He knows that you're going to sin. You have a free will, a volition. You'll make bad decisions to sin. And therefore, He says, all right, this is reality, certainty. That's a fact. That's once for all. You'll never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. But the filling of the Spirit, every time you make a bad decision to sin, you lose the filling of the Spirit. So God puts it in a command. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Because if you're not, then you'll live your life in Satan's cosmic system. You'll live your life under the authority and control of the sin nature. You'll spend your life fulfilling the lust patterns of the sin nature. And you will not please God. And you will not glorify God. The believers that please God and glorify God live their life. They obey the mandate. They obey the command. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. They obey the command. Keep on walking, living your life by the Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So, these are not synonymous terms. You must distinguish between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. So, sub-point 8 again. So, the actual use of divine power from the indwelling of the Spirit depends on the filling of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit is not operational apart from the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the first power option of the unique spiritual life of the church age. And without this divine power, it's impossible to live the spiritual life. Without the filling of the Spirit, there is no spiritual life. And that's where 99% of Christians are today. They have no spiritual life because they're living without the filling of the Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution, and this means anything that the unbeliever can do, is not the spiritual life. Sub point nine, the indwelling and filling of the Spirit are not synonymous terms. They are not synonymous terms. And let me clarify that with some sub-points. So this is sub-sub-point. Sub-sub-point one. The indwelling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's body. The indwelling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's body, while the filling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. So the indwelling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's body. The filling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Your body is the sacred building of the church age. The indwelling of the Spirit makes it possible for, it makes it impossible for any of you to be demon-possessed. Why? Because God the Holy Spirit's made your body a temple, and who's living in the temple? Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. No believer can ever, ever be demon-possessed. You can be demon-influenced, but never demon-possessed, because Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father are in your body. You can never, ever be demon-possessed. Unfortunately, you can be demon influence, and we have a lot of that going on. So the indwelling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's body, while the filling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Sub point two. When the Holy Spirit controls the soul, the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit. When God the Holy Spirit controls your soul, the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit, or living and walking your life by the Spirit. But when the sin nature controls your soul, the believer is said to be carnal. That is, you're grieving the Spirit and or quenching the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, when you are out of fellowship with God, living by the authority and control of the sin nature, you're grieving the Spirit. So we're commanded, Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Believers, you royal family of God, stop grieving the Spirit. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Spirit. Quenching means putting out the fire. And when you're out of fellowship with God, you just put out the fire of God the Holy Spirit. So we're giving mandates. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. But when you are out of fellowship with God, when the sin nature controls your soul, then you are carnal. You are grieving and quenching the Spirit. Sub point three. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable. No matter what kind of a believer you are, whether you're a carnal believer or a spiritual believer, whether you're a baby, adolescent, mature believer, whether you're a loser believer or a winner believer, doesn't make any difference what kind of believer you are. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent and irrevocable, whether you are carnal or spiritual, loser or winner. Sub point four. The filling of the Spirit is temporary. On the other hand, the filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer has unconfessed sin in his life or not. The filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer has unconfessed sin in his life or not. Now, we all have a free will. When God created man, He gave us in our soul a volition. And that's great. Volition means you have a free will. You have a free will. You see, you had the freedom to decide, am I going to assemble at Upland Bible Church this morning, or am I going to stay home? Well, you had a free will. You can use your free will. I'm going to be there. And some others say, no, I'm going to use my free will. No, I'm not. And sometimes there's all different kinds of things going on. And of course, we are living in the computer age. Now that's to me, that's scary, the computer age. I don't even type. I write all my notes out. I don't know how to type. Doom, doom, doom. And it ticks me off on the computer when they say, put this, and I have to go one at a time, and I get about three letters, and they go, no, you took too long. I can't tell you how many times what I've told that computer. I don't type. I write. Computers. We lived here in this church for 11 years. We didn't have a house. We didn't have a house, so we lived in the church here for 11 years. And the only computer I had was one down here. I had that thing so screwed up, that computer. It started on fire. It started on fire. Fire alarm went off. The fire department came. They're going all around trying to find out. I said, I think it's this computer, and I'm the one who... I am the worst person on the computer ever. And so they go, yeah, it's the computer, all right. So you see, I have destroyed some computers just trying to operate it, but... We're living in the computer age. So now you can stay home if you got something very important, more important. You can get the class email. Whoa. Wow. Right after class is over, we send out emails all over the country, and not only all over America, but all over different countries in the world. Those people like in Africa, they're getting our classes. As soon as the class is over, they're getting the classes. And almost every single day or every week, these pastors in Africa send back, that was a great class. That was really great what we were studying today, you know. And so they're getting it by email in other countries in Africa. And I realize you got so many important things going on in your life. And you can get the class by email. Or we have MP3 discs and we send those out. And there are some people, they want the MP3 disc and the email. They want everything. So you have a free will, whether or not you're going to assemble at Upland Bible Church for Bible class or not to assemble. You have a free will whether you're going to believe in Christ as your Savior or choose not to believe in Christ as your Savior. You have a free will when you do assemble or learn the Word of God, whether you're going to believe it or whether you're going to reject it. You have a free will. You can make good decisions or you can make bad decisions. That's all up to you as a part of your free will. So what sub point was that? Which one? That was the ninth one? That was the sub point nine? Okay. The filling of the Spirit is temporary depending on the experiential status of the believer? Okay. All right. Sub point 10. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That is the imperative mood. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. But the indwelling of the Spirit is in the indicative mood. It's stated as a fact, a reality, a certainty, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Sub-point 11. Therefore, the indwelling of the Spirit is a permanent status quo in time. All right. And that is point one. Now, point two. We're smoking. Point two, the inner conflict between the sin nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a war going on, every single one of us. You're all sitting here as a believer in Christ. You got a war going on inside of you. And that's described in Galatians chapter 5. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, walk. And that's the Greek word peripateo, which means to live your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you will not gratify the lusts of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. And then Paul says, they are at war with each other. Inside of you, you have a war going on between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So point two, the inner conflict between the sin nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the prior indwelling of the sin nature from physical birth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the new birth, regeneration, results in a great inner conflict. The prior indwelling of the old sin nature, which occurred at physical birth, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which occurs at the new birth, regeneration, results in a great inner conflict. Secondly, the indwelling of the Spirit is the principle of victory over the sin nature. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the principle of victory over the sin nature, while the filling of the Spirit is the function of victory over the sin nature. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the principle of victory over the sin nature, while the filling of the Spirit is the function of victory over the sin nature. Therefore, emphasis is placed on the moment of salvation, the baptism of the Spirit. We are identified with Jesus Christ in His death and burial. That divorces the believer from the power of the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. And current positional truth, we are entered into union with Jesus Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. That marries the believer to our Lord Jesus Christ with a new way of life, spiritual life of the church age. And it also provides a new marriage counselor for this new spiritual life. And that is God the Holy Spirit. All right. So that's point two. We got to take a break because your fingers are just getting worn out there. We come back after a few minutes for a break. We'll have point three.
think we may have had a little bit of a disconnect on those sub-points and sub-sub-points. I think...